B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Beit Daf Yud. We're going to start by the next Mishnah in the middle of the Omud. And this Mishnah is discussing the ability or being allowed to take birds, from doves or birds, from their nests in the dovecot and use them and shecht them. You're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to do that or not? Or are they mukta? Normally we assume that live animals are mukta unless they've been designated to be used as food, to be shechted and used on Yom Tov, in which case setting them aside, specifically designating them for Yom Tov, prevents the status of mukta from applying to them. And this designation has to be done before the onset of Yom Tov, before Bein Hashmoshes. The question is, how do you designate a specific bird or specific animal? Here we're talking about the birds, so we'll stick to the birds. How does one designate a specific bird to prevent it from becoming mukta? B'shamay omrim lo yitil, b'shamay say you're not allowed to take any bird, a chicken, or any young bird, or any bird from its nest, from the dovecote. You have to not just have looked at it and decided in your mind that's the one I'm going to shecht tomorrow, rather you actually have to have handled it. You have to have taken it and lifted it and done some act with it, and then that's considered that it's designated for the next day. Or Beis Hillel say that's not necessary. Oimid, you can stand for Oimir and just look at the birds and say zeh v'zeh ani noitel, this and this bird, in this nest, in this dovecote, that's the ones I'm going to shecht tomorrow on Yom Tov, and that's enough to prevent it from becoming mukta. Says the Gemara, Omer of Chonon bar Ami, Machleikus b'breicha rishayna. These birds, they tend to give birth or to tend to hatch in groups. The first group of birds typically are the ones that it was common practice to keep them with the mother in the nest for the whole season. So Rav Chonon bar Omi said that the whole machlekas as to the extent of designation you have to do in order to prevent them becoming mukta only applies to that first set of birds, where there's a good chance, since those birds have been around that long, that you'll have pity on them. And if you just look at them and decide you're going to shecht them tomorrow, which is what Beis Hillel says is enough, Beis Shammai is afraid that the next day you're going to have pity on them and you're not going to shecht them. And then you will have handled muktzah birds, because in the event that you decide not to shecht them, retroactively they were never set aside as food and they're muktzah. And therefore, these birds were afraid, and Beis Shammai say it's not good enough just to look at them and decide that those are the ones you're going to shecht. You actually have to have handled them and taken them with the intentions of shechting them the next day. And if your pity hasn't aroused by then, we assume that on Yom Tov you'll be able to shecht them. To Beis Shammai Sovar Gozrinon Dilma Osi Limluchi, Beis Shammai they make a gzeira, they're afraid you'll change your mind. To Beis Hillel Sovar Loi Gozrinon, Beis Hillel are not afraid. Aval Bebreicha Shnia, but from the second batch of birds that are hatching, Divrei Hakil, everybody Beis Shammai agrees that there's no connection, you're not emotionally connected to those birds having been in the nests for any length of time, and therefore it's enough to just look at them and designate which birds you're going to use for Yom Tov, and that's enough. Beis Hillel himself, who say that you don't actually have to handle the birds, you just have to decide which birds are going to be used for food, and then they won't be mukta. Why do I need to point specifically at those birds? Lema, mikan ani noitel lemochel, why can't he just look at the whole dovecote and say, tomorrow I'm going to take a bird from a dove from this dovecote, and tomorrow we'll let the concept of brera means retroactive determination, which means I'll determine later what was actually, so to speak, decided earlier. So of course, when Yom Tov comes in, it has to be already set aside to be animal food, to be food and not mukta. But I don't need to decide before Yom Tov which bird is from the beginning of Yom Tov, from before Yom Tov, not mukta. I'll decide tomorrow which bird, and the bird I decide tomorrow, retroactively, that will be the bird that was never mukta. That's the concept of brera. So why do I need to actually pinpoint and say that bird? Why can't I let the pinpointing be done tomorrow? And before Yom Tov sets in, I'll just say that I'm going to take birds from here. Whichever bird I choose tomorrow is the bird that from now is not going to become Muktzah. V'chi Teima, says the Gemara, are you going to suggest Bishilel lest luhu Breira, that Bishilel don't agree with the concept of Breira? Not everybody agrees that to such a concept. Maybe Bishilel doesn't agree with it, and therefore you have to decide before Yom Tov which specific birds are the ones you're going to shecht. That can't be. What none, we learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Ahalos, and we're not going to go now into all the intricate details of this Mishnah, but the general idea. The general idea is that when a person or any person, food, utensil, which shares the same roof as a corpse, as a dead person, becomes tomei. And the halach is that when a dead person is found inside a home, we know that he's going to have to be taken out either from a door or from a window of 4x4 tefachim, which is wide enough to take a dead person out of. We know that this mace is going to have to leave the premises by some form of exit. The halacha is that the exit that this mace is going to leave from, then the area underneath the door frame, even if it's not the same roofing as where the corpse is, but from the point of death until after the dead person has left the building, has left the premises, the area underneath the door through which the dead person is going to be taken is also considered as being in the same area under the same roof as the dead person, because we know the dead person is going to pass there later and it becomes tomei. That means the kelim that are there, even before the mace is there, the kelim that are there become tomei. Now that's all very good when we know exactly which door the mace is going to go out of. But what happens if there's a number of doors, a number of windows, and there's no reason to believe that one is going to be used over another? So then that's the halacha this Mishnah discusses. Hameis babayis, if you've got the dead person in the house, v'loy, and the house has got psochim harbe, has got many doors, and they're either all closed or all open, which means there's no reason to believe that one door is going to be used over any other. Kulam tameim, then the area underneath the doorposts of all the doors and windows are all tomei. Niftach echod mehem, if after this person dies, one particular door gets opened, and from now we can assume that the dead person is going to be taken out from that door to the exclusion of any other door, from that point on, hu tomei, that under the door frame of that particular door, anything that's put there, the kelim are tomei. V'kulam tohirim, but all the other doors are tohir. And we'll soon have to discuss whether they're tohir retroactively or only from now on, that we're going to discuss. Chisheiv lohoyitzioi be'echod mehem, oi b'chaloin sheyesh loboy arbo al arbo. If you didn't actually open one of the doors, you just intended in your mind, you decided that you're going to take the dead person out of a particular door or a window which is 4x4 tvachim wide, matzeles al kol ha-psochim kulam, then it saves all the other doors and windows, that the areas underneath those door frames, assuming that they're not sharing the same roofing as the dead person, then the area underneath them is tohir. Beishama imrim, Shammai say that this only helps if you decided before the person died. If you decided before he died which door you're going to take him out from, then all the area underneath, all the other door frames are tohir. However, if you didn't decide then once the person dies and you hadn't yet decided which door it's going to go out from, then under all the doors are tomei. Or Bishilel argue with Bishammai and say, af mishayomus hamis, even if you decide after the person's died, it helps and it stops the other doors from being, from the area underneath the door frames, from being tomei. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is not that clear, and the Gemara is going to discuss that. But either way, we're assuming at this point that Bishilel say that, or we're assuming that what Bishammai and Bishilel are speaking about is that when it says here that intending to take him out from one particular door is matzeles is kol ha-psochim, it saves all the other doors, we're assuming it means that anything that was there from when he died is tohir. That means those doors never became Tomei. Bishamai say, that's only true if you decided before he died. If you decided before he died, then at no point in time was any of those other doors in the Bichlal, it was never a question of the dead person leaving those doors because you decided before he died which one door he was going to leave from. However, Bishilal say no. Bishilal say even if you decide after he dies, which means when he died, you didn't know which door you were going to take him out from. But afterwards you decided that which door you're going to take it out from, then at that point we say lemafreya. We say it's now become clear that right from the start, this was the one door that was intended for the dead person to leave from. And therefore, lemafreya, retroactively, there was no tumma under any of the other doors. This can only work if you use the concept of brera. That only if you say that later on will determine what was the one door that initially, right from the beginning, was intended for this dead person. If you use brera, that works. So here we see Bez Hillel saying there's a concept of brera. If Bez Hillel say there's a concept of brera, then the question comes back, why does Bez Hillel have to point to specific doves, specific birds on Yom Tov? Why can't he say, tomorrow I'll decide which doves I'm intending now to separate for, to be used for food, and is not mukta? That's the question. Answers the Gemara, Ho'it ma'alo, Omar Rabba. We learned regarding this Mishnah that Rabba said, L'tayres ha'psochim mikanu la'bo. We're not talking about retroactively. Retroactively, it doesn't work. Or that's not the discussion. The discussion is from now and on. So Bishamai holds that if you decided before he died, then the only the door that you decided you're going to take him out from is the one that is Tomei, and all the others will be Tohir. If you didn't decide before he died, it doesn't help to just decide later. If you want to designate a specific door later, you have to do it by doing an act. You have to open the door, you have to do something to set aside that door, so to speak, to be the exit for the dead, for the corpse. But Machshava doesn't help. Bez Hillel say no. Bez Hillel say that even Mikanu Lahabo, if you, that once you decide from now on that you're going to use a specific door, from this point on, all the other doors are now Tohir. But until this point, until the point that you made the decision, Bez Hillel agrees that whatever was under those doors is Tomei. And therefore, we don't have proof from here that Bez Hillel says Brera. According to Rabba, Bez Hillel doesn't hold Brera. Bez Hillel says that only from now on, from the point of decision and on, it helps. Bishamai say that deciding only helps before Tumma sets in at all, before the person dies. Once he dies, if you haven't decided, the only way you can decide is by doing an act, not by just thinking about it. So that would be one answer to the contradiction. V'chein omer Reb Oishia, l'tayres ha'psochim mikanu labo. Reb Oishia also says that the discussion here is to purify or to render the doorways as tohir only from the point of decision and on, not before. Mikanu labo in, l'mafre'a loy. So there's no proof from here, or there may even be proof from here, that Bez Hillel holds that we don't say, that we don't use brera. Rava Omar, Rava says a different answer. Rava says, La'olam l'mafreya. It could well be that we're talking about retroactively keeping it toher. And indeed, when Bez Hillel said, Af misha yomus, even after he dies, you can decide, and then it will be toher, it means retroactively. That means there is brera. However, v'hocha hainu tama, the reason we don't want to resort to brera in our Mishnah here with the birds, is Dilma metaltil v'shovik metaltil v'shovik v'makom metaltil midi d'loy chozile. Because the only birds which are not mukta are the ones designated to be eaten. And if you say, I'll decide tomorrow on Yom Tov which birds it is, when tomorrow arrives, what are we going to do? You're going to go into the dovecote, you're going to handle this bird, is it fat enough, is it nice enough, is it good enough? And then you'll handle a different bird, and then you'll come to some decision. Once you've come to your decision, then yes, this bird that you've decided to shecht is not mukta, because we'll say, using brera, retroactively, this was never mukta. But how about all the other birds you handled in the meantime? They were all mukta, and you're not allowed to handle them. That's what it says here. Dilma metaltil, you're going to take a bird, you're going to move it, you're going to handle it, v'shovik, and put it down. Metaltil, you'll handle a different bird, v'shovik, and put it down. V'makom metaltil, and then you will have turned out that you are handling and moving midyudalei chazilei, something which is mukta, and that's a problem. And therefore, Bais Hillel say, you have to decide before Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, but did Bais Hillel not say it's good enough to stand from a distance and just point at the birds and say, these birds I want? You haven't even handled them before Yom Tov. You don't even know if they're fat enough, nice enough, good enough, tasty enough. You don't know anything about these birds yet. Why are we not afraid of the same issue? Even if you decided that you're going to use particular birds, the next day you're going to come, you're going to handle them, and you're going to say, no, I've changed my mind. So why don't we have the same concern? Answers the Gemara, Hanim mili me'erev Yom Tov, avol b'Yom Tov osur. That depends. If he knows before Yom Tov, an erev Yom Tov, now you have to decide, because whatever you don't decide now is muktzah, then that will be enough for him to make sure that the next day he doesn't touch any birds that he didn't designate the day before, because it's muktzah. However, if you're deciding on Yom Tov, then you haven't got that determination or that knowledge or that awareness that only the birds that I'm finally deciding are the ones that are not muktzah, you may end up touching other birds. And therefore, b'Yom Tov it's also the zimnim d'mishtach chishmeinim chushim. You might see a bird that looks fat, and really it's thin and lean, or chushim shmeinim, and the ones that don't look so good, you'll realize are much better than they look, or k'mataltal midyulei d'loi chozilei. However, if before Yom Tov you know the reason that I need to decide which birds is because all the rest are mukta, that will stop him from touching any other birds on Yom Tov. Inami, zimnin de mishtachi, another reason why we don't want to resort to Breira, we don't want to decide on Yom Tov, even if we're not concerned, even if we're not worried that he's going to touch many birds. He's only going to touch the birds that he actually wants to take. He's going to go and scrutinize each bird and decide. But we have an issue with that. Zimnin de mishtachi chunam chushim. It could be when Yom Tov actually comes and you're going to go through the dovecote, you're going to see that all the birds are weak and small and lean, and you'll say, it's not worth shechting them. I don't want any of these birds for Yom Tov. V'shoviklu, he's going to leave all of them. V'osilim nuim, simchas Yom Tov. And he's going to prevent himself from simchas Yom Tov, from having a nice meaty meal with some dove and some bird's meat. And therefore we say, decide before Yom Tov. And then we assume, once you decide before Yom Tov, you haven't got any illusions of how good or not good they are. You've seen them, you've decided, and when Yom Tov comes, you'll just take the ones you've decided, you'll shech them, and you'll have a nice Yom Tov meal. Says the next Mishnah, what happens if zimein shchayrim, if you designated some black doves or birds? Umotza levonim, on Erev Yom Tov, you had a particular nest with some, let's say, two black birds in them. Those are the two birds I'm going to shecht for my Yom Tov meal tomorrow. Umotza levonim, you come the next day and you find two white birds there. Levonim, or you designated two white birds. Umotza shcherim, you found black birds. Shnaim, you designated two birds in this nest, or in this dovecote. In one particular area, you designated two birds. Umotza shleisha, you came on Yom Tov, you found there was three there. There's an extra bird that's arrived from some place that's clearly not been designated before Yom Tov. One of these three birds are mukta. Now, one thing is clear. In the event that you can identify exactly the birds that you designated the day before, of course they're not mukta. You can take them. The problem is that you identified which nest, you identified where they were positioned, which dovecote and which nest and which floor they were on. You knew where they were supposed to be, but you couldn't actually identify the birds themselves. Here you've got an extra bird, and now you don't know which two of these three birds, if any, are the ones that I designated the day before. The halach is asurim, all three of them are mukta. Shleisha, if you designated three birds in one particular nest, umotza shnaim, and you found just two, mutarim, we assume that one of the three flew away, and the other two, the remaining two, are the ones that are here now. We don't say all three flew away, and two new birds from elsewhere flew in, and then they are mukta. Continues the Mishnah, b'soich hakan. What happens if you designated two birds that were inside the nest? You came on Yom Tov, umotza lifnei hakan, and you found them outside the nest, on the ledge, just adjacent to the nest. Asurim de osa. The Gemara is going to discuss all this at length. We're just going to read the halachas in the Mishnah. They're mukta. We have to assume they may be mukta. V'im ein sham Elohim, if the day before, on Erev Yom Tov, when you designated these birds, the only birds in sight were the birds that were two birds, and then you came the next day and you found two birds. They were not in the nest, they were outside the nest, but you found two birds. Hareinu mutarim, we assume that those are the birds that you saw, that you designated the day before, and they're not mukta, and you can shech them. Says the Gemara, Pshita, the first case in the Mishnah, you designated black birds, you found white birds, or you designated white birds, you found black birds. The ones you find are mukta. Of course it's mukta. It's poshet. They're not the ones you designated. Omar, Rabba says no. We're talking about you had two nests, one next to each other. You had black birds in one nest and white birds in the other nest. And the next morning you woke up. In the nest which yesterday had the black birds now have the white ones. And the nest that had the white ones now have the black ones. So I may have thought, honey in huninu. I could have thought that these are the same four birds I designated yesterday. They just changed places. They just moved from one nest to the next. And then they've all been designated. They're not mukta. Kumash malon, no. The chiddush is, hanoch ozdul alma. We have to assume that the four birds, the white birds and the black birds, flew away. Vahani, and these that are here now, achrinaninu. There are the birds that have come in and are mukta. Says the Gemara, so let's just work this out. You can see two black birds in this particular nest, and you have to choose. Are these the two black birds that came from the nest just next to it? Or are these two black birds that came from the world, some way place outside, from anywhere? And the same with the white birds. Are these two white birds that are here today on Yom Tov, the two white birds that were just next to here yesterday? Or are these two white birds that came from the world? That's what we have to weigh up. So what does it seem apparent? That would sooner say that since most black birds in the world are not the ones I designated, these two birds come from those birds and are mukta. And we'd rather say that, use the roiv, which is the majority, that rather than using the koriv, whatever's close by. We're not going to determine the status of these birds by the birds that were closest by. The black birds in the right-hand nest were just in the left-hand nest yesterday. Let's assume they are the ones. No. We prefer to resort to roiv than to resort to koriv. But that's a discussion. And the Gemara is saying, Leima Masiyah Leila Rav Chanina. Can we bring proof to what Rav Chanina said in Baba Basu Daf Chof Gimel? To Omer Rav Chanina, Roiv v'koriv, if you can determine the status of anything by either roiv or koriv, holachacha roiv, use roiv. This Mishnah seems to be proof to that. I've got the birds that were, the black birds that were just nearby yesterday, and they've now moved from where they were, and now I've got some black birds in this nest. I'd rather say that they are osur, and these birds came from the majority of birds in the world, which are not the two birds that were next to it, in the next nest yesterday. I'd rather do that than say that these birds came from just next door, from the next nest, and is koriv. So is this Mishnah proof to Rav Chanina? Says the Gemara, no. Kedo Omar Abaya. Abaya says, and we're going to see this on Daf Yudalef or Mudalef, Bedaf, there's a concept of a little shelf protruding beyond the nests, and Hochanami Bedaf, over here we're talking about that there is a little shelf, and what used to happen on that shelf is that all sorts of birds, white birds, black birds, that don't belong here. They come just flying around from the world. They come and they sit here. They won't dare come into the nests because the birds in the nests will chase them away. But as soon as the birds in the nests move away, the birds on this shelf are going to take their place, which means that it's not roiv and koriv, it's koriv and koriv. It's either the two black birds that were in the next nest that have come into this nest, or it's two black birds that were sitting on the ledge just outside the nest, that as soon as the white birds left, those black birds took their place. So that as far as koriv is concerned, it could be either birds are equally koriv. And when you've got koriv and koriv, then we'll obviously resort to roiv to make the final decision. And we'll say, since most birds in the world are not the two birds you designated, therefore we assume them to be mukta. Continues the Gemara. Shnayim u'motza shloisha asurim. If you designated two birds in this nest and you found three, all three of them, you have to assume them to be mukta. And the answer, the reason is, says the Gemara, because monafshach, whichever way you hold it, if you say that the two birds you designated flew away, and these are three new birds, so these are not the ones you designated, they're different birds. And let's say that the two of these three birds are the same as the two that you designated yesterday. You've got an extra one that is joined. And when you've got one bird which is mukta, then all three of them have to be assumed to be mukta. Toishus asks, why don't you say bittel? We know that there's a concept called bittel baroiv. If the majority is mutter, the whole thing is mutter. Why don't you say, since according to, if you assume that it's loyachrin aninu, and two of these birds are the birds that you designated, why don't you say that all three are mutter? So Taisu says, either because it's ba'alei chayim, something alive, is considered choshuv and it's not bottle, or it's a dovah sheyesh lei matirin, something we've already learnt about, and dovah sheyesh lei matirin is not bottle. Continues the Gemara, shloisha u'motzo shnayim. You designated three birds in this particular nest, or in this particular dovecote, and you found two, u'motzo shnayim, on Yom Tov morning, the two of the three are there. Mutorim, we're allowed to assume that these are two of the three you designated yesterday. We don't assume that the three of yesterday have flown away and two new ones have come in. Maitama. Why indeed are they muta? Says the Gemara, hani inhu ninu, these two are two of the three that you designated yesterday. And one of them flew away. Asks the Gemara, Leime masnisin rebihi v'loi rabbonon. Can we assume that this Mishnah is only following the opinion of Rebbe, not the opinion of the Rabbonon? Which Rebbe and Rabbonon? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Hiniach mono. If somebody left a coin of a mono, which is 100 zuz, of maisa sheni money. He had maisa sheni fruits that have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. He couldn't take them to Yerushalayim. He redeemed the Kedusha onto a coin. Now you have a coin of a mono, 100 zuz, which has Kedushas Maisa Sheni. This coin will have to be taken to Yerushalayim, and with it one will buy food and eat in Yerushalayim. So he put that on a shelf, he put that aside. U'motzo Masayim, then this person comes back and he finds two coins, 200 zuz. He finds two such coins. What do we do? Do we assume that the one coin that he put there, he'd obviously taken away, and these are another two coins, and there's no reason to believe that they're Maisa Sheni, they're both Chulin, or do we say no? The one coin that was here is still one of the coins here. The second coin was added. So says Rabbi, that chulin u'maisa sheni mu'rovin zeh b'zeh. We assume that what was here stayed here, and another one got added. Divir Rabbi, that's the opinion of Rabbi. V'chachomim oimrim hakel chulin. The chachomim say no. The chachomim say that we assume that the first coin was taken away. It's not common for a person to add a chulin coin together with a maisa sheni coin. Obviously, he'd forgotten, he'd removed the one coin of maisa sheni and put it elsewhere, and these are two coins of chulin, and therefore hakel chulin. That's one case. And it's not really a case that's so relevant to our sugya. The following case is the one that's relevant to here. Hiniach mosayim. He put two coins of maisa sheni on the shelf. U'motza mon, and he founds just one coin. Do we say, Rebbe says, mono munach u'mono mutel. We assume that one of the coins were taken away, and the remaining coin is the one that stays here, and it's maisa sheni. The Chachomim say that whoever removed the one coin would have removed the second coin as well. And therefore, if there's now one coin of the two coins, we assume that both of the original two coins were taken away, and this is a new coin of chulin. Hakul chulin. So the Gemara is saying that our case of designating three birds and finding two is like having two coins of Maisa Sheni and finding just one. So Rebbe says that the one that's here is one that's left, which is like it says in the Mishnah, that these two are mutar. The Chachomim who say that Maisa Sheni, we assume that both coins were taken away and a new coin was put here, according to the Chachomim, it would be comfortable to assume that with the birds also, if you designated three and you found two, we assume all three left, and these are a new two, and then they're both going to be mukta, not like it says in the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara is asking. Can we suggest that our Mishnah is following Rebbe? Answers the Gemara, no. Afilu teimer rabbonon. Our Mishnah and the Chachomim there don't have to be a contradiction. Ho'itmalo, because two Pchachomim explained, Rabbi Yechanun and Rabbi Lozo. And it's very important to remember who these Chachomim are. We're soon going to need to remember that. Rabbi Yechanun and Rabbi Lozo, they both said, Omro Tarvayu, that even though regarding coins, we say coins don't walk. So if one coin was taken away, whoever took one coin away took the second coin away, and this is a new coin, and that's why the Chachomim say Hakil Chulin. However, birds, they do walk. They maybe hop, they jump, but they move. And therefore, Shani Goizolus, these young birds, Hoil Vasuin Ledadus, they typically hop away. So it could very well be that there's no reason to say that all three hopped away, maybe just one hopped away, and the two stayed. Coins don't hop anywhere. Whoever took one took the other one. And therefore, the Chachomim say by the coins, it's Hakel Chulin. Nonetheless, they'll agree here that the two birds that are found are probably the ones that were designated. Ask the Gemara, V'lomoli lishnuya alo. You, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozo, you both explained that the reason that there's a difference between the coins and the birds is because birds walk, coins don't walk. Da'omre tarvayu, V'lomoli lishnuya alo, shani goizolis hoil vasuin ledadois. Why did the two of you have to answer this answer? V'itma alo dahahi. Because on this braisa that we saw with the Maisa Sheni coins, there's actually a machloikas Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozo, the same two chachomim that gave the answer there. They actually argued how to understand this braisa. What chad omar? One of, we don't know which one it is, but we're going to have an issue with one of them. Chad omar, one of them said, "Bishnei kisim machloikas." The whole machloikas is if the two coins hiniach mosaim. If the two coins that were left initially were in separate pouches, if they were in separate pouches, then there's a machlokes that Rebbe says that mono munach umono mutal. One pouch was taken away and the other pouch stayed, and therefore the one that stayed is ma'isa sheni. And the Chachom say no, whoever took the first pouch took the second pouch. Aval bekis echot, but if the two coins were in one pouch, divrei hakel chulin. Even Rebbe agrees that whoever took the first coin took the second coin, the whole pouch was emptied out, and the new coin that's here is chulin. That's what one, either Rabbi Yechanan or Rabbi Lozo, that's how they explained. The Chad Omar, and in which case, before the Chad Omar, and in which case, coming back to the birds are clearly two pouches, they're not one pouch. And if they're two pouches, then whoever this Chad Omar is, he says the machlokes was with two pouches, which means that the brayse of Hiniach Mosayim Umotza Mona is similar to the case of the Mishnah where Shloisha Umotza Shnaim. Okay, the Chad Omar, the other one explained regarding these coins, that Bekis Echod Machlokes, the whole machlokes is if they were in a single pouch. If they're both in a single pouch, then the machlokes is, do we assume that whoever took one coin took them both or not? Avul b'shnei kisim, but in the event that it's two separate pouches, divrei hakel, everybody agrees, mono munach or mono mutal. Even the chachomim agree that if it was two separate pouches, whoever took one didn't necessarily take the other one. And according to this chad omar, according to this explanation that the machlekes there is only with one pouch, but not with two, and we assume that the birds that we're talking about here, shloisha or motzo shnaim, is like two pouches. So there's no machlekes Rebbe in the chachomim. So there's no question. Even the chachomim agree by two pouches, mono munach, mono mutal. Whatever was taken was taken. Whatever's left stayed from the original coins. So the same will be with the birds, exactly like it says in the Mishnah. So there's no question at all. There's no issue at all. So if that's the case, it doesn't matter who said which explanation. Whoever said this second explanation, there was no contradiction at all between the birds and the coins. So why did you have to give an answer that coins don't walk, birds do walk, when it's not? We don't need the answer because there was no question. So Bishlei Melamando Omar Bishnei Kisim Machleikas. According to the first explanation, that the Machleikas Rebbe and the Chachomim is when the coins were in separate pouches, like the birds that are separate from each other. Then we can understand. It seems to be there was a contradiction. The Chachomim by the coins say Hakel Chulin. We assume that everything was taken. But the birds, the Mishnah says that we assume that whatever left, but whatever stayed is from what was there initially. So we have a contradiction, so we can understand. I need an answer to say coins don't walk. Whoever took one, took the other one. Birds hop away, and therefore one hopped away, the others didn't. We have to answer, Shani Gizolis, Hoyl Vasuin Ledadis. But the second opinion, who said that the whole machlokes is only when they were in one pouch, but if they were in two pouches, everybody agrees whatever was taken is taken and the rest stayed as a remaining what was there before. Why do I need to even answer? Shani Gizolis Hoyl Vasuin Ledadis, Ha'omrus, Bishnei Kisim Le Pligi. But according to that explanation, when they're in two pouches, even the Chachamim agree that the one coin that stays is Maisa Sheni. Exactly like it says here in the Mishnah, that the birds that remained are the birds that you originally designated. So whoever you are, Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar, whoever gave that second explanation, why do you need to give the answer? There was no question. Omer of Ashi, says as follows, Hocha begoizolois mekushorim vekisim mekushorim oskinon. The Mishnah that says that the birds, if you found three birds, if you designated three birds and you found two, is talking about any case. We're even talking about a case where the three birds were tied together. They were tied in one bundle. And then regarding the coins, the brice and the coins, when it says one pouch, two pouches, well, that means one pouch really means two pouches tied together. Two pouches means two pouches not tied together. If so, when the Chad Omar says, kis echod machlekes, machlekes is with two pouches that are tied together. Do we assume whoever took one, took the other, emptied one, emptied the other one, or not? And then it's exactly the same case. Kis echod is this case of our Mishnah, of Shloisha v'motzah shnayim, because the birds were tied together. Do we say that if one hopped away, they all hopped away, or not? In which case, even according to that explanation, there is a contradiction, and we have to say no. We have to say there's still a difference between pouches that are tied together and birds that are tied together. Pouches that are tied together don't pull away at each other. They don't struggle at each other. They don't run away from each other. And therefore, there's more reason to believe whoever emptied one pouch emptied the other pouch. With birds, even when they're tied together, they struggle to get away from each other. And they could well have got away, that one bird managed to get out and fly away, and the other birds didn't. And that was the answer. The kissim, hocha begoizolois mukushorim, the kissim mukushorim oskinon, goizolois, regarding the birds, menatchi adodi, they pull apart from each other. And therefore, we say, our Mishnah says that shloisha motzoshnaim mutorim, we assume that one bird pulled away and flew away, and the other birds are the ones you designated, and are mutter, they're not mukta. Kissim, however, the pouches, they don't try and pull away from each other, and therefore the Chachomim say, in the case of the pouches, the Chachomim say that Hakel Chulin, we assume whoever emptied the first pouch emptied the second pouch, and that's called Kis Echod, it's called one pouch because it's two connected. Whoever emptied one emptied the other one, and the coin that's here now is a new coin, which is Chulin. The Rebbe Omar Lecho, Kissim Nami Zimnin Dimis Akil Kitrayu. Rebbe, however, argues, and Rebbe says that even regarding the pouches, it could be that the knot got undone, and whoever took one pouch, one coin, or one pouch, just grabbed that one pouch or the one coin from that pouch and didn't take the other one, and therefore Rebbe says, Mono Munach Umono Mutal. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, if you designated some birds inside the nest, and then you find two birds, you designated two white birds in the nest. You came back on Yom Tov morning, there's no birds in the nest, but there's two white birds outside the nest. Asurim, you cannot assume that these are the two white birds that you designated. We have to assume that the two birds you designated flew away, and these are two new birds sitting here that are mukta, says the Gemara. Again, like we said before, Leima Masiya Leil Reb Chanina. Can we bring proof to here to Reb Chanina in Bar Basu Daf Chav Gimel? The Omer Reb Chanina, Roiv V'Koriv Hoylich Achar HaRoiv. If you have to determine the origins of these birds, either Koriv, were they the birds that were just close by in the nest the day before, or are these birds that come from the majority of birds out there and are not the birds you designated? And we'll have proof from here that you follow the majority and you don't follow the close. Omar Abaya, Abaya said what we saw before already, Baduf is talking about that there's a ledge, and on this ledge, birds from all over the place used to be there. There were all the time there were birds on this ledge, in which case it's not about deciding between Roiv and Koriv. They're both Koriv. It's either the white birds that were in the nest or the white birds that were outside the nest that are the two birds we're seeing now. They're both Koriv, so Koriv won't help you because they're equally close to each other. So if Koriv doesn't help you, we resort to Roiv. You look at the majority of the white birds are not the ones that you designated, and therefore it's Mukta. That was Abaya's answer. Rava Omar, Rava explains differently. Rava explains the Mishnah is coming for a specific case. Bishnei kanin zu lemaile mizu askinon. We're talking about you had two nests, an upper nest and a lower nest. And you had two white birds, for example, in both nests on Erev Yom Tov. You come and you say, just for argument's sake, I want to designate the two lower, the birds in the lower nest, those are the two I'm going to shech tomorrow. Okay, comes Yom Tov. And the upper nest is completely empty. The lower nest, there's nothing in the lower nest, but there are two white birds just outside the lower nest. That's one scenario. Another scenario is the same, but the other way around. He designated the upper two birds to be the ones he was going to shecht. He comes on Yom Tov morning, there's no birds in the upper nest. There are two birds just outside the upper nest, and there's no birds in the lower nest. So what the Gemara is saying is as follows. V'loi mi boya, not only zimin betachtoino v'loi zimin be'elyoino, if you designated the lower birds and not the upper birds. U'motzo betachtoino, and you found two white birds outside the lower nest. V'loi motzo be'elyoino, you didn't find any of the white birds in the upper nest, and in the lower nest also there was no birds. Da'asirin, there we say it's osso. The two birds outside the lower nest are mukta. Domrinon, because we say Hanoch ozlu le'alma, the two birds in the lower nest flew away. V'hanoch, and these two outside the lower nest, ishtarvu v'ishtarvav v'nochas, they lowered themselves down to the shelf, to the ledge just beyond the lower nest. And these are really the birds that were in the upper nest. They were not designated on Erev Yom Tov, and therefore they're mukta. Not only in that case, elo afilu zimen be'elyoino, even if you designated the upper two birds, and for young birds, they just about hop around, they can't really jump up. They can fall down and they can lower themselves down, but it's much harder for them to lift themselves up. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says, Afilo zimin be'elyoino, v'loi zimin betachtoino. You designated the upper birds for your Yom Tov meal, not the lower birds. Uba nom Yom Tov you come, u'motzo be'elyoino, v'loi motzo betachtoino. You find the birds outside the upper nest and you don't find any birds in the lower nest. Hanoch nami asiri. Those two are also asa. Why? Domrinon, because we say Hanoch ozlu le'alma. We say that the two birds that were in the upper nest flew away. V'hanoch, and these two birds just outside the upper nest, sruche sorich v'sutliku. They somehow managed to pull themselves up and to crawl up to the ledge outside the upper nest. And these birds are actually the birds that were in the lower nest and were not designated, and therefore they are mukta. And that's what it means. It's not osa because we assume they came from the world and then we have a question of roiv and koriv. No, they're all close by. The question is, to what extent do we assume that they jumped up or jumped down? And that the Mishnah says, asurim, even not only jumping down is something we take into account, but even jumping up is something that we will take into account, and therefore they are mukta and osa. Continues the Gemara, Vim ein shom Elohein hare elu mutarim, which we explained when we learned the Mishnah, that if when on Erev Yom Tov, when you designated the birds, the only birds that were around were these two birds, then they are muta. Asks the Gemara, hey chadomi, what case are we talking about? Ilema b'mufurachim, are we talking about birds that can fly? Ikalameima hanoch azlu le'alma v'hani achrininu. Maybe the birds that were here, that were there on Erev Yom Tov, that were designated to be used, had flown away, and these are two new birds. Elo, it must be talking about b'medadin. We're talking about little birds that can't fly yet, they can just hop a little bit. So Gemara is saying, Ida'ika ken b'toich hamishim amo. If there is another nest within 50 amas of this nest, then how do you know these birds are the ones that you left here? Maybe they are birds that came from the nest 50 amas away. And we have to assume that there's no problem of gezel. Either it's your nest 50 amas away, or it's Hefka has a nest 50 amas away. But either way, if you have nests within 50 amas, adude adodu. We know that little birds, they can jump, they hop up to 50 amas from their original, from where they originate, their original nests. So maybe the birds that were here have gone, and these birds are, just because there were no other birds close by before Yom Tov, doesn't mean these birds couldn't come from any nest within 50 amas. And if there's no, even within 50 amas, there's no other nests, which means there's nowhere that these birds could have come from, then pshita de mutarin, then of course it's muta. If there's nowhere else they could have come from, then these must be the ones you designated. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The Omar Mar Ukva Bar Choma, Mar Ukva said, Kol hamadada, any little bird that hops, ein medada yaisa mechamishim amma. It doesn't go more than 50 amas. So it must be these are the birds that were here. And just to make things clear, this we're assuming now that the Mefarshim explain this, that these words, im ein shom Elohim are elu mutorim, is going on the case just before of Besoicha Kon u'motza lefneakan, that before Yom Tov you designated two birds inside the nest, and all you find now is two birds outside the nest that the Mishnah said asurim de osur, as we saw before, for whichever reason, either roiv v'koriv, either according to Abaye, roiv v'koriv, as we saw, and according to Rava, that says that we're talking about two nests that before Yom Tov had two birds in each of them, then it must be that this case of Ein Shom Elohim means that in the nest, that in both nests, that means the second nest was empty. Not like we explained before, but the second nest was empty. That means the part of the Mishnah before, B'soich HaKon U'motza Lefnei HaKon, according to Rava, before Yom Tov, there were birds in both nests. Im Ein Shom Elohim means if there was only birds in this one nest, the problem is that on Erev Yom Tov, the birds were in the nest, and now they're just outside the nest. That's what we're discussing here. And we're saying that, assuming that we're talking about birds that can't fly, and there's no other nests within 50 amas from where any other birds could have hopped from, then what's the chiddush? Answers the Gemara, La'olam de'ika kan b'soich hamishim amah. We're talking about there is another nest within 50 amas of this nest, in which case it could be that the birds that were here flew away, ran away, whatever. And the birds that are here came from that nest 50 amas away. And if there's other birds 50 amas away, then why indeed do you say that it's mutarin? Why do you not say maybe the birds that are here now are the birds that were in that other nest and were not designated before Yom Tov and are mukta? No, there's a catch here. Kegoin dekaima bekeren zovis. They were within 50 amas, but the two nests couldn't even see each other. They were going round the corner. In some Gemaras, you'll see a diagram here. If you've got like a house, and on one side of the house, you've got a nest, and round the corner on the other side of the house, you have another nest, but they cannot see each other. Maudatayma, I may have thought, adduye adudi, that they hopped the less than 50 amma distance, and these birds are the ones that were in the other nest, and are mukta. Komash malon, the Mishnah is impressing on us that kolhecha de medade, even those birds that hop, v'hodor chozi lekanye, only if they can, all the while, they can still see their original nests, medada, they will hop. V'iloi, but if they cannot see the original nests, loi medada, they will not hop away beyond where they can see their original nests. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Im ein shom Elohim, harei elu mutarim. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.